I asked you, my friends, not whose fool are you, whose tool are you? Are you a tool in the hand of the master? Or are you a tool in the hand of the devil who doesn't get anything accomplished?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue on in this sermon series through the life of Paul. This is part four from that series, How to Be Usable for God. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
God did not have those intentions starting out, but he loves us so much that he opened up the gate and says, whosoever will, let him come. That's the reason why we can't be a people who name the name of Jesus Christ and be selective. All right, now I'm back on course. You can't be selective. You can't say, well, the only people that are going is the people that belong to this church. The Jehovah's Witness thought for the longest that they were the only ones that were going to heaven because they were the select 144,000. Problem, when their church numbers grew to more than 144,000, that pretty well cancels the doctrine. If we're going to be usable, we have to treat all people equal. So what do you mean by that? Well, here's the practicum for you. This means we must treat everyone fairly or equal and not be prejudiced or show favoritism. That includes those that may be rich or those that may be poor. In fact, the scripture very clearly states to us that we're not to make that kind of preferential treatment. So in light of Acts chapter number 10, let me give you the story. I don't have time to read it all to you. You read it for yourself. Cornelius, a devout centurion, here he is, the Bible says, fears the Lord. He's in command of 100 soldiers. That's a centurion. He's in command of 100 soldiers, and he's been seeking the Lord. This is a Gentile man, okay? And so, but he's been seeking the Lord, and he's been giving alms to help people in the name of the Lord. And he gets this vision. The angel of the Lord says, I've got a plan for you. Go send your faithful men down there to get Simon Peter. He's going to come back with a message for you. The man was already born again in Acts chapter number 10. He already knew the Lord. Here it is. The angel told him, go down there, get Simon, bring him back here. That's exactly what takes place. Now, while Peter is down there on the rooftop, at the nighttime, he has a vision. And the Bible said he sees this great sheet. I'm just summarizing this for you. He sees this great sheet coming down with what for a Jewish man looks like unclean. In other words, you got some pigs in there. He sees this great sheet with all these unclean animals, and he said, oh no, I'm not gonna participate with that. And God straightens out his prejudicial mindset from a Jewish mindset to open the door to the Gentiles. And he said, don't you call what I call clean, unclean. Yeah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. They're coming in here with like purple hair and earrings all around their nose. And when you really get the heart of God, you don't care what they look like, what they smell like, what they act like, how rich they are, how poor they are, what nationality they are, what society class they are, what race they are. You don't want, listen, if you really had a vision of what hell was and it opened up and you saw it, you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there. Suddenly your heart flips. And now you're not talking about they're Jewish, they're Gentile. You're saying whosoever will, like Jesus does, let them come. Are you with me right here? So God is preparing, and what takes place? Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. Whenever Peter arrives over there, he asks Cornelius. Now this is the second illustration and actual evidence and scriptural reference to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2, he poured out, and what happened? They were all one place, one accord, and suddenly there sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues of fire sat on them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Next time you see that happen, here it's in Cornelius' house. Not that it wasn't happening, but the record shows that when Peter arrived there, He finds out that this centurion has already had a relationship with the Lord. And watch what happens. This I love. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Here's the Jew inside of a Gentile's house breaking down the wall of prejudice. You didn't hear what I said. He broke the wall of prejudice down, and he says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." He just opened the door up and said, "Thank you for allowing this Jew to come into your house, and I want you to know the gospel is not just for the Jews. God is no respecter of persons." This is the reference that many people quote all the time. It has a direct connotation to break down the wall of prejudice that is trying to take over the United States of America even now. As a result, Peter starts preaching to Cornelius. He's in a Gentile's house, Jewish preacher, and while he's preaching, the Holy Spirit comes into that house, and while he's preaching, as it was on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes down, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance right there. So, why do we call, let me just stop here, do a little doctrinal thing. Why do we say that the initial physical evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues? Because this is the continuum of doctrinal thread that goes through Scripture that is the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because the same thing that happened here in Acts 10 happened in Acts chapter number 2 and will happen again in Acts chapter number 19. Are you with me? The overriding factor is, like Peter, everybody in this room, all of us, must deal with any kind of prejudice that's hanging in our heart. So we have to overcome prejudice in many areas, not just race, but as I mentioned to you, in our culture, there's economic prejudice. There's educational prejudice. Well, I've got a master's degree. Well, you're still going to get sick and potential of you laying up in the bed and needing somebody who's got Jesus. It may be the poorest preacher in town that comes praise for the richest guy in town. Can you handle that? Come on, somebody. I found out this. Whenever you get in a real bad place, you don't care who prays for you. Somebody touch heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't come in here showing me your credential card and how much you've studied the Word of God. Can you touch heaven? Can you pray the prayer of faith? If you can, welcome in the room. We can't look down on people, my friends, just because they're different from us. I'm talking about being usable and building the church right here. Even if there are other Christians. Well, you know, they haven't been in the church as long as I have. I've known some people that have been in church for years but have never matured and grew up. Are you hearing me? That's why God gives us this command in James chapter 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. In other words, you welcome everybody. This is the pattern of God. God has made all of us who are in Christ clean by the same blood of Jesus. He doesn't use, I'm fixing to step out in the middle of this one right now. He doesn't use black blood for the blacks, white blood for the whites. Come on, somebody. Hispanic blood for the Hispanics. It's all the red, crimson blood of Jesus Christ, who was a Jew himself. Come on now. It's the cleansing power of the blood that makes us a believer. So in other words, my dear friends, this means that we have to act like saints, not like snobs. If anybody's going to come to our church, they don't need to get bust through the wall of prejudice or a list of rules. We treat everybody, and let me go on record and say at Pace Assembly, everybody's welcome in this place. Aren't you glad you got a church where everybody's welcome? Even you. Look at your neighbor and tell them they even let you in here. Come on, somebody. Second thing. Well, there's your scripture. Dear brother, how can you, I put it in the Living Bible. I love the way this reads. Dear brother, how can you claim that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if you show favoritism to rich people and look down on poor people? Now, the direct reference here in James 2 is, you follow it up, you read verse 2 and on. He says, don't you, when a rich man comes in the building, don't you escort him from the back door or put him on the front row because he's rich? And I'll tell you, we're in the political season. And politicians will come to this church, but I got news for you. We offer up seating, whatever is necessary, but they're men and women just like all the rest of us that need Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Second thing, we've got to decide in advance. Somebody say in advance. We've got to decide in advance to live faithfully. Look at verse number 19 in Acts 10. While Peter thought on the vision, and the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verse 21. Peter went down. This is the story. Peter went down with the men, went down to Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom thou ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you've come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, the just man. He goes on to tell him he's a good report, so forth and so on. The angel appeared to him. And so Peter got up and went his way. Verse 24, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Look at that. Isn't this powerful? He called together his near friends. All right, now just stay with me a minute. Because of the persecution, I'm going to explain this. This all plays into this entire story. Because you got to realize, and if you haven't seen the movie, The Apostle Paul, it really plays this out in a lot of ways. I told you, I've already seen it, and it really plays this out in a very intense way of the threat atmosphere that would keep the Christians of that day isolated and in their houses and afraid of what's going on. They were still getting the word out, but in Jerusalem, a lot of persecution had taken place. But remember, because Saul was over there killing them to start with. And what was it that spread the gospel? It wasn't a bus ride that got them up to Antioch or to Caesarea or whatever. It wasn't a subway. It wasn't an airplane that spread the gospel. It was persecution. The Bible says that scattered hundreds of them, or scattered literally thousands of them, hundreds of miles. All right? The word scattered here that is used in the scripture in chapter 11, I read chapter 10. I knew something was not filling out. Look at chapter 11, please. Chapter 11, I'm sorry. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but only to the Jews only. And some of them were the men of Cyprus and Cyrene and when they had come to Antioch, which will be key here in a moment, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Now notice this. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. You remember we studied him last week, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that they, with purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, Barnabas was, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. All right, I apologize for that misread there a few moments ago. This is Acts 11, verses 19 through 24. So because of the persecution, they're scattered all over the place. This word scattered, powerful word here that's used, it means to distribute or to sow. So it wasn't persecution that we would look at that everybody's going to get killed. So many of them are, but it was God's plan and purpose to scatter them, to distribute them through that persecution and sow them into different locations to plant churches, to start congregations, to preach the gospel. God used that persecution of the church to scatter those seeds all over the known civilized world. Now, this reveals, my friends, that Satan can't do anything to us that God can't turn it around for good.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.